everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's had a wonderful, beautiful day. What a great day the Lord's blessed us with. Just want to just welcome each and every one, those that are here in person and those that are watching on the live feed. We love and miss you. If this is the first time you've tuned in, just let the good Lord and the Holy Ghost just lead you in the service tonight. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. So good to see y'all again, as I said. Good to have the choir back. And just really excited about what the Lord is doing. If you have a prayer request tonight, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each other. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for giving us the opportunity to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, may we come to you, dear Lord, right now. May we just release everything that's just bothering us, dear Lord, that may be holding us down, dear Lord, and just turn all of our attention and our mind on you. Lord, we ask that you now, that if we just try to stand together in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, that as we just receive your word, dear Lord, receive your spirit tonight, and dear Lord, and be prepared just to worship and praise you. Dear Lord, now you see the hands that were raised this evening. Dear Lord, you know the depths of our hearts even before we speak them. And we're asking you to heal, to mend, and to protect, dear Lord, for those that are sick and shut in, those that aren't able to be with us this evening, dear Lord, for whatever reason, dear Lord, whether it is illness, travel, or just a loss of desire, dear Lord, we're praying for each and every one. Lord, we ask now, dear Lord, as we just lift you up and honor you, dear Lord, again, just let your spirit flow. Lord, we ask now that you'll bless our pastor. Bless him and his family as they go about your work. Dear Lord, each and every ministry that comes forth from this congregation, Lord, may you just bless. May we put you first in everything that we do. And, dear Lord, we just honor and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone says,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, this song has really been on my mind. And it's been a long time, since I've led it. Page 341. What a friend we have in Jesus. Page 341.
Yeah.
seated if you can. God is great. But you know, give me just a second if you will. And I just want to read this. And it's in the first verse, but it's also down towards the end. It says, Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. This has been going over and over and over in my head. And I know I haven't led this song, or if I have, it's been a long, long time ago. But I'm amiss if I don't use some of these authors as God, I know, laid in their heart the need that they had at that time. And in this day and time, you know, prayer is our release. Going to the Lord with everything is our release.
Amen.
We don't have to carry that burden. We don't have to carry those cares.
That's right.
Because we give it to the Lord with our faith in Him, the Almighty, that it's all in His mighty hands. Because
right.
As it was said so many times this morning, you know, not only through the growing pains, but God has a reason and a plan. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I just thank y'all for letting us do that this evening and singing so beautifully. I need to tone back and just listen to y'all and just let the words minister to me. But just praise the Lord. We're going to get ready and take up the evening offering. And then we're going to turn it over to Miss Penny and the choir this evening. Don't forget of the messages. It was mentioned this morning. The Ida Bell will be having their meeting Tuesday night at 6 p.m. over in the Curtis Center. So all you ladies, it's an opportunity for y'all to gather. Really excited about the ministries and all that's going forth. Banner Brothers will be setting out their date later. Hopefully, we're staying in contact with all the amazing Gracers and making sure everybody's okay. We need to do those things to make sure we're unified. Our children's church, our children's drama, the Child of the King. Looking forward to their next presentation and just excited what God is doing. Praise the Lord. Brother Thomas, if you'd ask the Lord just to bless our evening offering, please. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Bless this offering, Lord, for the purpose of our work, Lord. Bless all those that have the gift, especially those who don't. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Amazing grace. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just love the Lord tonight. Can we do that? Can we lift our hands and praise Him? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise and adore You tonight. God, You're so great. So gracious to us, Lord. We thank You so very much for that amazing grace, for that abounding love, God, that You have shown to humanity. And Father, we are the recipients of that grace and of that love. And we lift our hearts and we lift our hands tonight to give You praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory
praise
to God.
Hallelujah.
Well, give the Lord Jesus a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. So good to be in the house of the Lord. So good to see each and every one of you. Amen. We appreciate you coming out tonight. Amen. We appreciate the Spirit of the Lord. God has been so good to us and so gracious.
Amen.
Tonight, I want to bring a message entitled, Then Came Jesus. And I desire your prayers tonight because I may, in fact, already feel a little bit emotional because this afternoon as I was in my upper room and my little private place, I went up and I was praying and studying and reading and happened to look at the bookshelf over there, and on the bookshelf I saw a little Bible and I picked it up, and it's one of my granddaddy's Bibles. He had several, and this was about the size that he used. Now, bear with me. He must have had better eyes than me because this is some fine, fine print. But I picked it up and opened it, and this is where he had a little ribbon here. And I don't know if he preached this particular passage. He's got... See, my granddaddy didn't use highlighters. I don't even know if they had highlighters. If they did, he didn't use them. He used an ink pen, a ballpoint pen, and all through this Bible... there are pens, marks, and little notations, and I see them, and I feel my granddaddy, and I recall so many of the messages that he brought to us, and in his many, many years of pastoring and preaching. And tonight, as I read this Bible and I see these little marks, it's a little bit overwhelming. I felt really, really good at the house, but now as I open it up and begin to read it, I almost feel... He's right over here because he usually would sit right there when I would minister. And I still remember the first night that I answered the call to preach after many, many years of running. And asked Brother Bailey. Of course, that night I called him Papa. And I said, Papa, and I was just a bawling. And I said, Papa, the Lord has called me to preach, I believe, with all my heart. And he said, I knew that. I just wondered when you was going to accept it, you know. But this is his Bible. So I'm going to go to the book of St. Matthew tonight because that's what he has marked. And I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. And then I want to drop down to verse number 13. Again, St. Matthew, the third chapter, verses 1 through 3. And then we're going to drop down and I want to read verse number 13. The Bible says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this third verse is marked with my granddaddy's ballpoint pen. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Then we'll drop down to verse number 13. Verse 13 says, Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Can we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your mercy, for your grace, and it truly is amazing. Father, we thank you for those who've gathered here tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just open up the windows of heaven, pour out an anointing and a blessing upon this congregation. Father, I pray that you would give us help. God, in time of need, I pray, Lord, that you would lift us up in spirit. Pray, God, that you would reach out and touch those who are sick and afflicted tonight. God, we know that your healing power is more than sufficient. Father, I ask, God, that you anoint these lips of clay tonight. God, anoint this mind. God, that to speak that you would have us to hear, that we'll be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If you love the Lord, give him a great old big hand clap of praise tonight.
Amen. You say, Brother Eddie, you do that a lot. We don't do it enough. Amen. We could never, ever praise him enough for all that he has done. Tonight, I want to bring the message, as I said, entitled, Then Came Jesus. We find that John preached repentance and baptism, but he also said to prepare the way for the one who cometh after he. And he said in verse number 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but the one, or but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I'm so thankful that after the preaching of John the Baptist, which was prophesied, amen, by Isaiah, that he would be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, I'm so glad that he not only preached repentance, but he also preached that there's one coming. Amen. How many is glad that Jesus came? How many is glad that he came and gave his life on Calvary for each and every one of us? You know, Jesus' ministry, it was only about 3.5 years upon this earth as he walked. In Jewish custom, a minister could not begin his ministry until he was 30 years of age. So a lot happened between Jesus being 12 and when he did in fact begin his ministry. But I began to think how short the last 3.5 years have gone by in my life. And then I think about what the Lord Jesus Christ was able to accomplish in the short time that he was here on this earth ministering the people that he touched, the people that he healed, the people that he fed, and the many, many miracles that the Lord wrought. So I'm so glad that Jesus did come. You know, I'm thinking about Jairus, and I'm just kind of walk through the Word tonight a little bit, because as I begin to look at this little Bible, I begin to see some of the markings and where my granddaddy had marked where the Lord came and he touched and he anointed lives. And I'm not going to preach the whole thing tonight, but understand and be sure that I'm not. But I just want to hit some highlights tonight on some of the things that he had. Now, I want to tell you, I can't preach like my granddaddy. Amen. Nobody can preach like my granddaddy. Every one of us has our own abilities and our own talents, and that's what God uses and sees fit. But my granddaddy was special in his way. I often said that if you looked up the biblical dictionary and found the word pastor, you would probably find Brother P.C. Bailey's picture, because that's just how I thought a pastor was to be. And I really, really loved him as a granddaddy and as a mentor. But tonight, as we talk about Then Came Jesus, how many knows that after Jesus came into your life, things were different? Can I get a testimony tonight? Can I get a witness? Before Jesus came into our life, we struggled. Amen. We were responsible for the sin debt that was heavy and on our heart and in our mind. But then came Jesus. And when Jesus came into our life, things began to turn around. And I thank God, the night that I prayed through to the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost in that little church in Rockmart, Georgia, was a wonderful time in my life. And my granddaddy was there when I opened my eyes, and he was praying for me and glorifying and praising the Lord, and I thank God for that. But more than for my granddaddy came, I thank the Lord that Jesus came, because that night I was introduced to Jesus. Now, as Jesus began his ministry, we find that one of the things that my granddaddy had marked was the ruler named Jairus. Jairus came to the Lord, and he found out that Jesus was going to be in the neighborhood. He found out that he often had spoke to people and people's lives were changed. He understood that Jesus had touched many people and healed them. Now understand that Jairus had a little daughter that was at home, and she was sick nigh unto death. In fact, she was facing death's door. Jairus knew that if he could find Jesus, that he had hope. And we find that Jairus went and found Jesus in the crowd, and he asked Jesus to just speak the word or come to his house and touch his daughter. And Jesus came by that night for Jairus, and he touched the little girl and made her whole. And you know, it's just a wonderful account of the way that Jesus came by when the need was the greatest. Can I remind us tonight that so many times when everything else has failed, We've tried everything that we can do within our power, and only it gets worse. The situation gets worse, but Jesus comes by, and then He makes everything better. He turns a bad situation into a good situation. Immediately after that, we find that there was a woman with an issue of blood. The Bible tells us that for 12 long years, she had went to the doctors. She had went to the physician. She had spent everything that she had. But the Bible says she only grew worse. But then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. And she found Him in the midst of a crowd. And you know this story, how that the little lady, and you got to understand the uniqueness of this story. You got to understand the power that is behind persistence and the power that is behind dedication and commitment. She was not going to be denied. We sang a song so many times, I would not be denied. How many knows that Jacob would not be denied? He held on to the angel until the Lord blessed him. If it took all night, how many of us are willing to pray and fast and seek the Lord all night long, holding on to knowing that we're going to be persistent, that the Lord is going to come, amen, and undertake in our situation. So the woman had spent all that she had. In fact, she grew worse. But she found Jesus in the midst of the crowd and she pushed her way through, the Bible says. Understand how weak and anemic she was. If any of you have ever given blood or lost a considerable amount of blood, how weak you are and how frail you are, and you got to drink a lot of liquids and got to get your blood built back up. But understand, she had had this issue of blood for 12 years, but here she came and she saw Jesus and she knew that He was in the vicinity and she knew that He was about healing. And the Bible says she pressed through the crowd with every ounce of energy that she had, with every ounce of determination. She would not be denied, and she pushed through until she touched the hem of His garment. The Bible says immediately she was healed. And the Lord knew it because He said, who hath touched me? The disciples said, Lord, you know, they're all touching you. He said, no, I felt virtue, power going out of my body. Amen. The moment that she touched the hem of His garment. Now, we can't touch physically the hem of Jesus' garment, but how many knows that we can pray with persistence, we can pray with dedication and commitment, and spiritually be able to touch the anointed hem of God's of the Lord's garment, and know that healing virtue can flow into our spirit and into our mind. How many has been healed immediately? How many has been touched the moment, amen, that you reached up and got a hold of the power of God, and God came on the scene? Amen. If you do, and if you have, give the Lord praise tonight. Amen. And it's wonderful to be able to feel the Lord. Then we find that as Jesus began to minister, there was a situation when He fed the multitude. And when they were ready to leave, He sent the disciples on down to the ship. And many people think, you know, why was He waiting behind? You know, sometimes we have talked about this morning, Jesus always has a plan of action. And the Lord always has a plan of action. He's so much further ahead of us. But He sent the disciples already down to the ship. And they launched out and they were on the ship. And the Bible says there arose a storm. Anybody who's ever been sailing along pretty good in your life and all of a sudden there's a storm on the horizon? It begins to shake the boat. It begins to shake your life. You begin to kind of question yourself sometimes and question your walk with the Lord and question your faith and say, Lord, you know, we just left revival. We just had 5,000 people fed with just 2 fishes and 5 loaves, and we saw the miraculous power that You're able to do. Many, many times we leave a church service where the Lord has really shown up and just blessed and anointed, and we go off in one mind and one accord only to be met with maybe a situation or problem the very next day. Amen. A storm arises. You know, and we're wondering what we're going to do. We need to be reminded that the same Jesus who broke the fishes and the 5 loaves is going to show up in the midst of the storm. Amen. He won't leave us and He won't forsake us. So the disciples were there and they were battling the waves, and they really thought that they were going to perish. But then came Jesus. This time Jesus chose to walk not on the street, not down the road, but on the water. And at first sight, the disciples were frightened. They thought it was a ghost or a spirit. But it was Jesus. Amen. And Jesus came, and immediately when He got into the boat, He said, peace, be still. In the midst of our storm, In the midst of our trials and the situations that arise on a daily basis many, many times, let us not forget that Jesus came not only to heal us, not only to raise the dead, but He also came to calm the storms that are in our life. Many, many times, the waves get turbulent. Many, many times, it seems like, Lord, where are You? When He begins to walk up to the situation. I've had more times than I can count, more times than I can even remember when seemingly everything was just falling apart. And I asked the Lord, Lord, how long is this storm going to last? And then Jesus came by. Then came Jesus into my life and He calmed it. I could give testimony and testimony of how the Lord has come on the scene and touched folks and healed folks. But I also wanted to remind us that not only is the healer of the body, but He's also the healer of the troubled soul, or the storms, or the fear, or the anxiety that arises in our life. You know, a lot of people beat themselves up because they have anxiety, because they're anxious. You know, that's just the flesh. Sometimes the flesh doesn't deal with situations like it should, but you know, the Lord is there to calm that storm. And you know what? I wasn't even really meaning to say anything like that, but let me just pause just a minute. Sometimes the Holy Ghost kind of just moves in, and maybe you're battling that. Maybe you're finding yourself worried and I can give a personal testimony, and I think it's a good time maybe to do that. And I know I've shared it with somebody before, with the church before, but there was a time in my mother's life. Now, this was my granddaddy's baby daughter. Okay, Brother P.C. Bailey and his baby daughter, which is my mother, when we lived up on Harlan Lane Road, and my little brother and myself was about probably 8 and 6 years old, something like that. There's 2 years and 4 months difference in our age. But I remember it very vividly. The man that wrote in this Bible, the man that put I looked at it and he put down people's names, and that's not a bad idea because, you know, when you get my age, you remember faces sometimes, but the names slip you. But he had names, and they was always accompanied by brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. It's in that book, and it's remarkable. But mother had just lost a baby. Our little baby daughter, our baby sister, was born on July the 5th, 1957. So that would have actually made me only 5 years old and Dennis 3 years old. So a little younger at the time. But mother battled with this after the baby lived only 11 days. A beautiful, beautiful, precious little baby girl. She would, in fact, have been the first girl born to my granddaddy side of the family. He had 13 grandsons before he ever had a granddaughter. But it wasn't to be. Mother battled with that. My mother, that many of you knew her and worshiped with her, and she was a very strong Christian, very committed and dedicated and faithful, but she was a basket case. We remember, my brother and myself remember her just, for no reason at all, just crying. Just nothing going wrong, but just crying. And it was because of that anxiety. It was because of that whatever it was that she couldn't get over. She blamed herself for the death of the baby. She cradled me and Dennis, and she didn't want us to even go outside and play. She didn't want us to do anything because she was afraid that something was going to happen to us since she'd had the devastating loss of the little girl. And I don't know why. I didn't have any of this written down in my notes and all, but the Holy Ghost just sort of brought that to my attention. But the writer here that numbered all of these things and underlined all of these things lived in Rockmart, Georgia, worked at Goodyear. Well, one night it got so bad that my daddy called Brother Bailey to come down and pray for Mother. She had gotten so bad she'd gone to bed. Remember, in her bedroom, me and Dennis were kind of standing there and we'd peep in the bedroom window and she was just bawling and just shaking all over, and my daddy didn't know what to do. And so he called Brother Bailey and my grandmother, and they got in the car and drove from Rockmart, Georgia down to Villarica, Georgia on Harlan Lane Road. We were the third house on the right. They came into the driveway, walked into the house. My granddaddy didn't say anything to anybody else. He walked over, he knelt down by the bed, and he took the hand of my mother and he said, "Listen, baby, you got to get a hold of yourself." And I remember mother saying years and years later, "How can you get a hold of yourself when you feel like you're losing it? When you feel like your very, very mind is about to snap?" And then my granddaddy, kneeling down on the side of the floor there by her bed, took her hand and he began to pray. I was only just a small, small boy, but I felt the presence of God. And it was almost like something just squished into the room and just filled the room. And Daddy was praying. My grandmother was praying. Me and Dennis was watching. You know how that is. We didn't know whether to run, pray, cry, or what. We were worried about our mother. But the room began to, I remember and I see now, it was like a total illumination. It was just radiantly white in that room. And all of a sudden, my mother raised up out of the bed. Not completely, but raised up from her waist up and began to put her hands in the sky, began to worship and praise the Lord. The tears that were flowing down now were changed, amen, to tears of joy and happiness. She began to get deliverance that night. The power of God came down in a mighty, mighty way because somebody had faith enough to believe that God is still able to come on the storms, even if the storms are in our mind or in our spirit. Why? Because Jesus came by. Because Jesus came into that room that night, and not only did he touch Mother, but he absolutely completely healed her of the anxiety and the nervous thing or condition or whatever it was that she was battling. We were so thankful, and many, many times she would give the testimony how the had not been for God, there's no telling where she would be today because of that episode. But Jesus came by, even to his disciples, to calm the storm. We find that Jesus waited a little time before he came to see Mary and Martha. We often say that our time and God's time doesn't coincide really well. So many times we say, Lord, I need you to do this now. And it's not God's will to do it now. He'll do it, but he does it in his time. He waited. What was it, 3 days, 4 days before he came? He heard that his good friend Lazarus was sick. And the Bible says Lazarus died. He was dead. A lot of folks say, oh, he really wasn't dead. He was dead. He was dead because they wrapped him in grave clothes and they put him in a tomb. And he was so dead that his sisters were afraid that when they rolled the tomb away or the stone away, that he was going to stink because of the body deteriorating. He was not just asleep. He was dead. How many knows that it's never too late for the Lord? Amen. Things may look, you may call them dead. You may have already put grave clothes on them. You may have pushed them in a side of tomb. And you may have placed a rock in front of it and said, that miracle will never happen. It's too late. Evidently, it wasn't God's will. But I'm telling you, Jesus came by. Glory to God. He came to the little town of Bethany where Mary and Martha was. They was already having the funeral. And he said, show me where you have laid him. And he went and he said, roll the stone away. I believe the Lord could speak to some of us tonight and say, get the stone out of the way. Amen. If you want to be delivered, push the stone out of the way. Amen. Jesus didn't move the stone. Understand it. He said, that's your obligation. That's your responsibility. If you'll get the stone out of the way, I'll call that death and make it come alive again. I'll heal what you've been looking for. I'll answer the prayer if you'll just roll that obstacle away. But many of us keep that obstacle right in the way. But Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth alive and well because Jesus came by. Then the Bible tells us of a young boy, and his dad was very concerned. And he came to the disciples and he wanted them to pray and cast this spirit. The Bible calls it a dumb spirit. It actually goes into detail if you look at Bible history. He had a spirit of epilepsy. He said at times it overwhelms him and it takes him and he foameth at the mouth and his teeth gnash and sometimes it'll cast him into the water or cast him into the fire. And we asked the disciples to come and the disciples could not cast the spirit out. But then came Jesus. I said, then came Jesus. How many times have we tried and tried and tried to work a situation out? We've tried. We've tried. We've done this. We've done that. We've read the Bible. The Bible says do this. But when we turn it over to Jesus, Jesus came by and healed him. Amen. I know that that father was so thankful that Jesus came by. Is anybody happy and thankful tonight that one night Jesus came by in your life? Amen. When it looked like all hope was gone, looked like you would never have a future, but Jesus came by and changed that whole situation. And let me tell you, Brother Chris touched on this the other night, and I made a little notation. And actually, I thought I was going to entitle this message, "Who's That Coming Down the Road?" Because the Bible tells us that when Jesus was walking the streets of Jericho, and he came by the certain Bartimaeus who was blind. And Brother Chris has already went into detail about the blind and the garment that he had to recognize and signify that he was a blind person and that he depended on others for his welfare and for his living. But let me tell you something. Bartimaeus was not deaf. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we can't see it. But if you listen, we can hear it. Glory to God. Oh, somebody needs to know that. I can't see what God's doing. I can't see a way out. I can't see a miracle. But God all time is trying to speak to you and telling you that just hold on. Help is coming. Glory to God. And he could not see, but he heard something. Amen. I'm reminded. And I keep going back to my granddaddy and my grandmother because it just filled my spirit and my mind this afternoon as I picked this little Bible up. But again, I was about this same age, maybe a little older. I probably had already started. Well, in fact, I know it started school because I was up at their house visiting and they lived there. Brother Chris, if y'all know, when you first come into Rockmart, where the elementary school is now on the right, just past that little place or whatever before you get to the intersection up there, and you can see Goodyear Plant over there. They lived down that little side street. And that side street then was not paved. It was gravel. And it really wasn't gravel. It was slate. Because Rockmart is aptly named Rockmart because of the rocks and the slate that's all around there. And it was cheaper than gravel. But the slate was on that little driveway or that little street. And across the railroad track was the high school, and after school, the football players would come out in their cleats. Now, I'm talking years and years and years ago, and I could hear them coming because the cleats would make this unmistakable noise as they all shuffled down that little sidewalk or that little street, because right there, they practice in Goodyear Field up there. Goodyear had an old baseball field, and a lot of it was grass, and the high school would come and practice there. And I remember as a little bitty boy, I thought it sounded like an army coming. And boy, they was coming down there, marching, but they was coming. And I'd run out there at the end of their driveway, and I'd wave to them. And my grandmother might have got on to me one time because one of them said, "Hey, you got anything to eat?" And I run in the house and grabbed one of those packs of soda crackers. And I was out there giving out soda crackers. And my mother said, "You can't feed that bunch. They'll eat everything I got in the house. Them football players." But the noise of that, I hear it now. And I can almost envision Bartimaeus sitting there. And he heard something. Heard something that he was trying to identify. And there was a commotion. And people were walking down the street. And even though he could not see Jesus, he heard that Jesus was coming. Amen. And the more that he heard, the closer Jesus got. And as Brother Chris has already preached, he got up when Jesus came and he threw off that old garment. Amen. And the Lord blessed and healed him and anointed him and opened his blinded eyes because Jesus came by to his situation. And my granddaddy had it marked. Another thing that he had was the 10 lepers. I know probably every one of these were different sermons, but I just kind of wanted to highlight them tonight. The 10 lepers that were in this particular community or little place, and Jesus was coming by, and they began to holler at him, and because they had to alert and let anybody know Amen, that you can't come near me. 6 feet. Had a big sign. Due to COVID-19, wear a mask and you can't get within 6 feet. No, that's not in the Bible. Amen. But it said, unclean. Unclean. You can't come near. But you know what Jesus said? He said, go show yourself to the priest. What does that mean? Because that's what a leper had to do when they were cleansed or when they were healed or when the leprosy was over. The first order of business was go to the priest and declare themselves clean so they could take back up residence with their family and their community. And Jesus said, go, and they went, but one of them, one of them turned around and with a loud voice began to say, thank you, Jesus, for coming by today. Thank you, Jesus, for changing my life. Thank you for healing me. I want to be that one that turns around and says, thank you, Lord, because I was in sin, sickness, and all of this leprosy, sin-like nature of my life. But Jesus came by, and He changed everything in my life. And made it anew. And lastly, Jesus and His disciples went across the sea into the land of Gennesaret. And there met Him, one who had been crying in the tombs, so vexed with a demonic spirit that he found no peace. Some said he would howl at night. Terrible sounds. People were afraid of him. They tried to put chains and fetters on him, and he would just bust them asunder in his pain and his misery. But Jesus came by. And I can almost see Legion running up to him. You know, but Jesus didn't back up. Amen. And he asked him, what is thy name? He said, Legion, for we are many. But you know what? Jesus rebuked every demon out of that man's spirit. And he went away clothed and in his right mind. Changed forevermore. Why? Because Jesus came by. How often, how great, many, many times in the Bible, almost impossible situations were turned around because Jesus came by. And then I've thought about the finality of Jesus' ministry is He came by for me. The reason I know that is because He walked up Calvary's Hill, old Golgotha, carrying that cross that basically should have been mine, but Jesus came by and He interceded on my behalf. There's a precious song that says, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Aren't you thankful that Jesus came by for us, for our sin debt? Not only did He carry the cross till Golgotha's hill, but He willingly laid down His life so that you and I could have eternal life. How precious the Lord has always been. And I'm telling you tonight that even though Jesus is not here in flesh, His Spirit is still here. And Jesus can come by in your need or in your situation tonight, whatever it may be, whatever you're going through, if you'll just let the Lord come by in your life. The song says, reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Would you stand? Our music, if you want to come, that'll be fine. If not, we'll just sing it. Praise God. Probably in the key of C. D, E, F, G, H, one of them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Church, would you just kind of close your eyes in reverence to the Spirit of God? I want you to, in fact, feel His Spirit moving in and out of the pews tonight. And if you have a need, let Jesus touch it in your life. If you have a sickness, He can heal you. If it's anxiety, He can cure it.
whatever your problem, even the blinded eyes, even the deaf ears, He can still anoint and make whole.
What key are you in? G?
F. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out, touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out, touch the Lord as He goes by. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Hallelujah. He's passing by this moment.
Yes, your
need is one. Just reach out to us.
So good to have you with us tonight. And again, those that are watching on the feed, we just love each and every one of you. As we prepare to dismiss, don't forget about the Ida Bell meeting Tuesday night, all the other ministries as we get cranked up. We just want to thank the Lord for His many, many blessings. For anyone traveling, anyone that's not going to be with us this next week, but we want to invite you back for Wednesday night service. We'd love to see you here then. Praise God. Well, all righty. With this prayer.
Let me share one quick.
Go right
now. I'm not going to interrupt you. I'm just going to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
I got to share. Penny was letting me listen to a minister this morning, and I don't know if I can get it exactly like he said, but if you are one of those persons who are wondering why that Satan is attacking you, and you're a child of God, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're wondering why he's not bothering some of these people who seemingly don't profess anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought it to mind that when Saul, you know, disobeyed God, and the spirit of Saul or spirit of God left Saul, and they had this ongoing fight with the Philistines. And after the death of Saul and all, or after the spirit left him, they said that this Saul was still alive at this time. But the Philistines did not attack Israel until like some 8 years later, only after David, who was anointed, became king.
Right.
As long as you're not anointed, the devil don't care. But the moment you become anointed, glory to God. The moment you get on fire I got to give it back to him or I'm going to preach again. That's when Satan comes against you. So if he's coming against you, it's because you were an anointed child of God.
Amen. Oh, you, Lord.
You're going to win because David won every battle.
Amen. Amen. That's just a preview of the next message. Praise. That's right. That's right. That's just something to carry home and study on. But that is absolutely so true. So true. And you know, I've talked about this, and I know, and I'm going to say this real quick and let us go, but you know, through Sunday school, and through our opportunity, not just as little ones. We were talking about it in our Sunday school class this morning, the New Horizon class that meets out in the other one. I know we have two adult classes and wonderful Sunday school teachers and all the others. But we were talking about things you read that you remember. There's certain things you say, that's not the way I remembered it as a child. But we heard it as a child. We've experienced so much more in life now. And as the Word is unveiled to us, God knows what we can take now. You know, we talked about, and I'm going to bring it up, just last week we talked about there were two crossings. There was the Red Sea and there was the Jordan. And you know, as we teach and we learn, there's so much more, but God knows. So as we get closer walk with the Lord, and no matter what that storm is, no matter what we're going through, God is mighty to carry us through. If we put our faith in Him and walk where He wants us to walk, praise God. Love each and every one of you. Thank you for the message tonight, Lord. We just love you. Lord, we just give you all the honor and glory to Lord. We just lift you up. Lord, thank you again for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, I love the way that sounds. Lord, it's your house and it is your name that we gather. It's not anything that we do. It's all that you do. It's not who we are. It's who you are, my Lord. And we just want to follow you, dear Lord. And we, as we go through these days, dear Lord, and we hear all the unlying rest and everything that's going forward, that we'll put our faith in you and know that Jesus, you came by. In the storm, you said, peace, then be still. Praise God, you've given us peace as we go through these days. And Lord, we love and praise you. Lord, I thank you for each and everyone's here. I ask you to bless them, keep them safe, every home represented here. Lord, and we pray for our family members and our loved ones and the people we work with in our city, our community, our state, our country that's lost, dear Lord, and may they have that opportunity to hear your word. Dear Lord, one more day that they may hear your word. And dear Lord, they may turn their life around. And that turning it around is accepting you as their Lord and Savior. And dear Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Have a great first part of the week. See you Wednesday.